welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
We can bounce back to week one. It was a pretty dominant victory for you guys. It obviously wasn't perfect, but finding stuff to work on in a blowout win has to be a pretty good feeling.
I believe in the adage that the greatest growth comes between week one and week two. Some of these kids hadn't played on a Friday night, and even the ones that had, it's been a while. So everybody has room to learn and grow, and it was our responsibility to try to identify those areas and capitalize on them.
So yeah, now you move into week two, and it's a pretty familiar opponent with Hannibal. It's no longer a district game, so kind of what does this game mean with it not being a possible district matchup anymore?
Whether it's a district matchup or not is not really our concern. They're a great opponent. It's quite the test. We have to go up there. We certainly know the way, and they're incredibly talented. They're well coached, so it's just a great measuring stick to see where we are at this particular moment in time.
So yeah, they have an offense that it gave you guys a little bit of trouble last year, which is the big backs that they have. So just from where the defense is now compared to last year, how do you guys feel you match up this time around?
You know, I don't know. I guess that's something that we'll find out Friday. We've certainly done the work. They are incredibly talented. So like I mentioned, it'll be one heck of a test.
Yeah, and then kind of their defensive side of the ball, what have you noticed? Kind of what are you guys planning on this Friday?
They're fast, they're aggressive, that they're willing to get up in your face. So, again, I think it'll be a wonderful test for us offensively.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Jay's head coach, Damon Wells. And, Trevor, I think, you know, if you're going to plot things out, you're going to go, okay, how would you like to get the season started? 40-3 is a pretty good way to get things started. So how did the Jays look, and how do you think they were overall, do you think they were pleased with how the way things went last week with that win over Osage?
You got to be pleased with the final score, obviously, and rushing for almost 500 yards. And with the way the defense played, those major, major positives walking out of week one.
Sure.
There was definitely some things that to be highlighted to work on, penalties being the major one. But yeah, kind of what me and Wells talked about and you just listened to in the podcast, if you're going to find or identify things to work on, doing that in a 37-point win is probably the best time to do that.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Walking out of week one, they have to be pretty happy.
So you kind of touched on it, but there was 495 yards of rushing. It's not very often when you get to see a total that big and you go, yeah, but there was a yeah, but in the fact that there was 0 yards of passing in that game. So I got to imagine that's something where you go, I don't know if ideally you want to be that dominant on one side of the ball that you never get the other side of the ball going, but that's kind of what it sounds like happening.
Yeah, and it was definitely something that was brought up. They only tried 4 passing plays. 1 resulted in a sack and 3 incompletions. So obviously it wasn't a focal point of the game plan to throw the ball a lot, but I think they would have enjoyed it if they saw some success in the little that they tried it.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a bigger focal point this week. Rushing for 495 yards, always going to be a good thing. But yeah, you would have liked to see some success in the passing game last week.
So I know that coaches are always going to play it tight to the vest, even with a beat reporter like yourself that they see regularly. But it's going to be the sort of thing where they're not going to tell you exactly how they would like things to go, no matter how much they trust you. But what do you think, maybe, if this team had its druthers, what's the percentage of what you would think that they would like to see by the time this season is all over and done with, where they would like to see that number? Is it 70-30? Is it 60-40? Is it 80-20? I mean, what's the number you think that they're going to end up at where they're going to be rushing versus passing?
80-20 was the first number that popped in my head when you brought that up. Obviously, that's not something I've really thought about before, and I don't think that's something that they've really thought about much.
Sure.
Their big mantra is always been they're going to do whatever it takes to move the football.
Sure.
Is a quote I've heard a lot talking to this team. So it's going to be a week by week thing, but you definitely want those weeks where if it's going to be open that you want to be able to exploit that, and when you do take the shots, be efficient. So Yeah, I would say 80-20 is a good number, but obviously in a wing T offense, it's kind of a question mark how much you're going to throw the ball week to week.
So that's probably enough about last week. Let's get ready for the week two opponent. It's going to be a 7 o'clock game tonight at Hannibal. For maybe second year, maybe it might even be the third year in a row. I don't know, but it's a wounded Hannibal team that's coming off of a loss to Helias where they got thumped pretty good. So Helias doesn't do Jeff City any favors the last couple years, where it's like this is a pretty good Hannibal team that we're, you know, on paper that it looks like could be pretty good, could give some teams a lot of trouble. They're coming off a loss where they got handled pretty good by a Helias team, so that's kind of a wounded animal that the Jays will be facing tonight.
Yeah, and doubling down on that, they exploited weaknesses in both those matchups last year. In week one last year, Helias basically shut down the running game for especially Aeneas Williams. They shut down just the explosiveness in their running game, and Hannibal kind of had to figure out what do we do when that happens. And then this year, it's the passing defense. They allowed 380-something yards to Helias on just 18 or 19 attempts last week in the passing game. So that's something you come out, and it's like, okay, this is a major problem. We need to address this now. And that just happens to be the week before a Jeff City game both times.
Although you got to say, I mean, maybe they don't have to address the passing defense just yet, since they're playing a Jays team that's coming off of 0 passing yards. So, it's ideally if you have a team that's shown a weakness, you sometimes want to exploit it. But if the Jays haven't exactly figured out how they're going to get that passing game going, maybe it's easier said than done.
Yeah, definitely. And you. If you're Hannibal, you probably look at the 0 passing yards, and you maybe don't address it as much. But Jeff City has shown in the past that they are willing to pass the ball against Hannibal. They had 3 passing touchdowns all last year, Jeff City did. One of those came in the Hannibal game in week 2, and the other 2 came against Battle. So, I mean, I'm sure they are game planning for it. They've seen it in the past, and they know they're capable of it. They just might not have shown it last week.
Right. So you mentioned Aeneas Williams. I think, for most fans, it starts and ends with Aeneas when you're talking about Hannibal, although I think they do have some other weapons. But whenever you've got somebody from Hannibal that is a commit for Notre Dame, obviously we have to talk about that dude a little bit, because he's very good. He's shown that he's very good. And while I think there have been times where maybe teams have been maybe able to stop him, sometimes I wonder if Hannibal maybe stops him a little bit too much themselves, because it didn't sound like, based on conversations with Tom Rackers after the Helias game last week, didn't sound like they pounded the ball to Aeneas as much as you might expect of a Division I recruit.
Yeah, it was kind of eyebrow raising to look at the box score last week. Mike Ferreira, which is the second running back, he's a junior. He's also a pretty good player, a big kid. Jeff City got to see him in the district championship last week after he stepped in for Aeneas injured. I think he ended up with 28 carries, and Aeneas ended up with 18 or 19.
Right.
So that's kind of startling when you look at it. I don't have any inside information. There may be a pitch count with him this year. Who knows? But obviously, looking in the past, though, Jeff City knows exactly how good Aeneas Williams is. He showed that in week 2 last year when he totaled up almost 330 all-purpose yards and 8 touchdowns. So they're very familiar with that, and they're also very familiar with the guys after and the fact that Hannibal's not a one-man show.
Right.
Because they saw that in the district championship last year. There was no Aeneas. Hannibal's offense functioned very well without him.
Yeah, and maybe that's, obviously we don't know their personnel, what they want to do as well as their coaching staff does. So maybe there's a plan. Maybe it is just one of those things where we go, hey, let's not wear him out in week 1 against Helias by giving him 35 carries. Let's give him 15 to 18 carries. We've got other guys who are good, and let's see what that gets us. And then once we get towards we're actually ramping things up for a postseason run, then we'll worry about what we want to do at that point. So, sometimes if you've got that many people that are pretty darn good, then you've got to use them at some point, and you got to figure out how they all factor into the piece as a whole. So I guess that's what, that being said, they're a very, that they have enough that it's cause for concern for the Jays this week. So, they're a team that only gave up 3 points last week. I don't see them giving up 3 points to Hannibal, but I think that's got to be the matchup I think that we're looking at, is the Hannibal offense versus the Jay defense.
100%. And it helps out the Jays that they're coming off their best defensive performance I've watched in the 2 years I've covered the team. Last week, basically everything functioned perfectly for the Jays outside of penalties. They had 11 penalties for 97 yards. That can't happen against a team like Hannibal. You can't give them free yards. But, I mean, the positives, there was a long list of them. They didn't get tested much in the passing game, but the defensive backfield looked really good in the Jamboree, so I'm not really worried about them. But it was the front seven. They really dominated a rush-heavy attack, and that's not anything of the sorts that I saw last year. So they were tackling, they were physical, they were getting multiple hats to the ball on every play, and it was really a fun group to watch. Like, kind of what we mentioned last week on the podcast, you can tell exactly what they're doing at almost all times this year, and that's a really good thing for a defense. It's never a good thing when you look at a defense and you're trying to figure out what they're doing because people are out of position. Yeah, I mean, all the positives in the world for just the on-field product of what the Jefferson City defense showed last week, because it looks night and day from last year.
So let's say the defense does show up and they are kind of able to maybe limit Hannibal to, let's say, three scores. Then it becomes a matter of, can the Jays maybe build off of last week's offensive performance and carry that over to this one? So I got to imagine it's going to be one of those stereotypical games where you go, okay, they're going to have to get, you know, execution in all phases. But I do feel like this, you know, may not be one of those games where you go, okay, if we're going to be successful, I think for the Jays, it's probably going to have to be like a, you know, 24-21 game, something like that. I don't see them, you know, if it gets crazy and Hannibal scoring a lot, it's going, you know, obviously I don't think that's the game that the Jays want to be playing. I think they want it kind of a little more contained somewhere in that mid-range rather than any outliers for one team or another on offense.
Yeah, I definitely don't think they want to get in a shootout with this team. There's just so much big play potential on the other side. Aeneas can go score anytime he touches the ball. And, yeah, I mean, Hannibal, the lesser talked about thing is their passing attack really isn't bad. Waylon Anders is, I think this is his second year starting on varsity, so he's a junior that now has a lot of experience and completed passes at a very high rate last year. So they're comfortable putting the game in his hands, too. And, I mean, Jeff City's offense can score at a high level. Do not get me wrong. I just think that Hannibal has a little bit more firepower. So when it comes down to, say, a game getting in the high 30s or getting in the low 40s, you would have to trust the Hannibal offense just a little bit more. It's a little bit more proven. So, yeah, keeping a lower scoring game, and I think the biggest factor is which team stays ahead of the sticks. Because neither of these teams want to see a 3rd and 15, a 3rd and 10, or anything of that sort, because that kind of forces them out of what they like to do and makes them one-dimensional and kind of predictable.
I guess one other point that we need to bring up is the fact that this is a Hannibal Pirates team that's had the better of this series in recent memory. So I got to imagine that's another thing where, you know, the Jays will try to take and win however they can get at this point, because they want to get into the win column against Hannibal, because it's, what, 5 in a row for the Pirates?
Yeah, I mean, talking to the players after the game, I kind of brought it up to the seniors, because the seniors are the ones, a lot of them didn't play their freshman year, but they lost the one game their freshman year, and then obviously the last 2 years, they've lost twice to them. So you bring up the word Hannibal around the Jefferson City seniors, and you can kind of see it, how they react. Right. They want this one really bad, whether they want you to know that or not. This is not just another game for them. Talking to the players, at least, that's definitely what I picked up.
So I guess that gets us to the prediction point, and it's a matter of, do the Jays, you know, end that skid against the Pirates, or who comes out on top in this one tonight?
Oh, I haven't given this one too much thought, which is on par with every other prediction I've made on this podcast. I'm going to lean Hannibal in a close one. Just, like I mentioned, the firepower on that side is really impressive, and just the big play potential. If Jefferson City can limit the big plays and stay ahead of the sticks, don't get me wrong, I would not be surprised at all if they win this game. But I'm going to go with a close one. We'll go 28-21, Hannibal.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley, saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TrevHahn3. Thanks for listening.